2010, and I'm sitting down right now with a guy called Dwayne Dove, who actually has produced Tobago's first single estate chocolate bar. How long has this been a dream of yours?
It's been a dream of mine for about 10 years. No, sorry, about 12 years to actually do our first chocolate bar.
I see that you spend a lot of time, in fact you've opened your first shop in Sweden. What's the connection there before we... I understand the Trinidad connection, but what's the Sweden connection?
The Sweden connection is that I went to Restaurant Academy in Toronto, and then I did my apprenticeship at the Swedish Restaurant Academy, where I studied wine and spirits. That's where I got my sommelier diploma. So it was like a 14-month program, and then I started working in Sweden to gain experience. And then after that, I got involved in a restaurant project that I then became a partner in a restaurant where we specialize in rum.
So I just took part in your seminar, which I've got to say was really interesting. Normally when I hear the word seminar, I switch off. And to be honest, I did come down the stairs rather begrudgingly because I thought, oh God, I'd rather be upstairs tasting the rums. But you know what? I was totally engrossed in what you had to say. And I mean that genuinely. As you saw, I was desperate to ask some questions because it was just fascinating stuff. One thing you said to us was it's the only estate in Trinidad or Tobago. What about the Caribbean? Are you the only person in the Caribbean who's actually producing chocolate?
Actually, no. There are two other islands that are doing a lot of interesting stuff with chocolates. In Grenada, there's something really nice happening there. And in St. Lucia, there's also something nice happening there. So I think it's Tobago, St. Lucia, and Grenada where we really see that, you know, we're bringing chocolates to the next level. You know, we're going back to the days of cocoa and the plantation lifestyle and planting, replanting with some new modern technology, yes. But at the same time, we are making purest bars. You know, we want to emphasize the quality of the cocoa we have, and we want that quality to reflect in the final product. So we're paying a lot of attention to how we manufacture it from bean to bar, basically. We're following that very carefully.
Mm-hmm. I asked you a question about Africa because I was quite interested when you spoke to us about the beans and the different quality of beans, and the fact that actually the bean that's produced in Africa is of the more inferior quality to the one that's produced in the Caribbean. And we always talk about Africa as going back to the source and the root of everything, and so my sort of impression was that that would be the best bean, but it's not, is it?
No, cocoa comes from Latin America from the beginning. That's where it was. So cocoa was actually introduced to Africa, so it doesn't come originally from Africa. It's the Amazons. It's Mexico, Honduras, Costa Rica, all these South American countries. That's where cocoa was first discovered. You know, and it was the Indians, the Maya Indians, the Aztecs that actually used cocoa as in their recipes and different dishes and stuff like that. And then the plantation lifestyle came when we were colonized. You know, the French came and introduced the plantation lifestyle, and the Spaniards came, etc., etc. So, yeah.
Just want to talk to you a little minute about the Rum Fest that we're here at 2010. It's amazing. It's really, really busy, and there's so much to try and experience. But something that struck me, and I'm sorry to get a bit deep here, but I noticed there's very few black exhibitors in the place. Most of the exhibitors tend to be white or have families that go back to the Caribbean, I'm assuming to owning plantations and possibly slave owned. And it made me feel a bit sad. You're probably one of the few exhibitors. Is that something that's important to you?
I never really thought about it that way, to be honest with you. I never felt that segregation in growing up. You know, I went to public school, then I furthered my studies abroad, and I've always had Tobago close to me, even if I were abroad. And in my family, I mean, you know, we are very mixed from way back.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, you're right. A lot of these old distilleries and plantation goes back to with some sort of a French, Portuguese, or association, because they were the first. They colonized most of the islands, you know. And I mean, okay, you know, the Africans, you know, were worked on the estates, and then the Indians came in as secondary labor and stuff like that. So it is a lot of the big companies basically would have roots back to the colonies. Yes, that's correct.
What about your goals for the future? Because you've achieved quite a lot in this industry already, in the chocolate side and the rum side, you know, marrying the two together. What's your dream?
Vacation.
beyond your next vacation, what's your dream? Because I know that this was a dream of yours for a long, long time. You had this vision to rejuvenate the cocoa industry in Trinidad and Tobago, and you've done that. So what next?
Well, plant more cocoa and develop the line, basically just to get everything to a level where, you know, I could take a vacation.
Do you want to just give us the website so any of our listeners that want to check you out can do so?
That's right. It's www.tobagococo.com. It's an agro-tourism project, as we were saying. You know, so we do tours. We have daily tours to the estates. We're nestled in the hills, in the Roxborough Hills. You know, so it's really nice. We have the Atlantic on one side, and we have the rainforest on the other side.
Stop showing off, man. This guy doesn't need a vacation. Trust me, every day's a vacation. Dwayne Dove, thank you very much for talking to me. I'll check you out when I'm in Tobago.
Please do so. Thank you.
I'm just speaking to a guy called OJ, who I've just overheard being called the bar people's best customer. Explain.
I'm a rum addict. That's all I can say. I live in their warehouse.
Is this your first rum fest?
No, it's my second. It's actually my second.
What made you come back?
That young guy there said that I should come to rum fest. So I came last year and I had an absolutely wonderful time. So I decided to invite my friends around, and they also had a wonderful time.
So nobody's having a go at you. They're all pleased that they got invited.
Absolutely wonderful time. It is a wonderful idea and something that should go on for years and years. Every year I find a new rum, which means that every year I'll be coming again and again.
It's interesting because when you hear the price, it's £25, which at these times is not cheap.
£25? Is that how much it is?
Yeah, so you didn't pay to get in?
I want a refund. No, I got in part of the early birds, so I paid £15.
Okay. But the interesting thing is that I haven't met a single person who's upset. Everybody says it's value for money. They've enjoyed the vibe and they've enjoyed the variety of drinks.
Well, if you look at it, if you are a connoisseur of drinks, or even if you're not a connoisseur and you go for a wine tasting or a cognac tasting or whatever it is, you normally pay between £20 and £25 and maybe be exposed to one or two different brands. Here, you're exposed to over 20 to 30 brands. And not only that, you're introduced to new cocktails and people who know about rums. So in terms of value for money, there is nothing like it. Even if you're paying £25! No, but even if you're paying that amount of money, there's nothing close. Because if you want to find out about rums, even if you only drink something like Rare Nephews, and that's all you drink, it's worth coming, spending that £25, coming and tasting some of the other rums to see if Rare Nephews is truly the best rum, or whatever rum it is, Mount Gay or whatever it be.
I agree with you. I mean, I'm a person that kind of sticks to what I know, and I've tended not to stray too far from the Bajan rums. But after today, I mean, I've tried from all over the world, not just even the Caribbean, and it's been a real experience. And that's the thing about today, it is genuinely an experience, isn't it?
Indeed. The whole event, from trying to meeting people, it's just an experience. I mean, even if you know nothing about, this is the most important thing I think everyone should understand, even if you know nothing about rums, just come in here, you'll become more experienced.
And will we see you at a third Rum Fest, OJ?
Hell no, I'm already an alcoholic. I'm here again. There's more alcohol. No, absolutely, definitely.
Thank you very much. Okay, I'm just at the stand of St. Nicholas Abbey Rum. It's a Bajan rum, actually. And I've just tasted it, and it's absolutely divine. Very, very smooth, and it tastes quite, what's the word? Elite? Would that be okay to say?
Yes, elite and complex. It's a rather fruity rum, having notes that are derived from the barrel. And we pride ourselves on producing a rum that is natural and is a naturally aged rum.
It's actually a single cask rum, isn't it? And so what that means is that if out of all the people that I've been to, all the stands that I've been to today, what happens with the St. Nicholas Abbey rum is that they actually pour it out of a casket, they put it into a fresh bottle and they seal that bottle in front of you. So you're actually seeing it happen in front of your eyes. What made you decide to go this route?
Well, our whole philosophy is quality and tradition, and putting the whole packaging together in a very authentic way. So we actually, back in Barbados, put the rum in the bottles from the barrel, and that's what we're showcasing here. That's the way we do it. There's nothing in between.
I'm actually a Beijing myself, and I've got to say I've never ever heard of this rum before. So how long has this rum been available?
For the last 4 years, we purchased many barrels from Four Squares Distillery, and using the technique of aging it at low alcohol strength, we were able now to really create a smooth rum that, as I said, has a lot of complexity and interest to it.
Okay. And just finally, what have people been saying when they've tried it? Because as I said, when me and my dad tried it, and we were like, this is very, very smooth. It's not the kind of drink that you'd put Coke on top of. It's one you drink on its own. But what are the other comments that you've had from customers?
Yeah, well, actually, the comment that comes across the best is the expression on their face, because it is a realization that they really are enjoying something that, you know, they first experienced. And many of them, I don't want to say this, but say it's the best in the show, you know, but I don't want to say that.
I don't blame you for saying that. Thank you very much for talking to me. A lovely looking guy, and I'm going to find out what he's doing here today. What's your name?
Dwight Hagley.
What are you doing down here?
Well, we're just checking out the spirits that's about, and so far so good.
Is this your first rum fest?
It is my first rum fest, actually. You can't beat this. You know, you sample rums from all over the world, and cocktails to boot, they give you back some. You know, so it's just good. It's good.
I can hear that you hail from Barbados, so if you kind of steered clear of the obvious choices for you, the Mount Gays and the Cockspurs. And have you found any new rums that you really, really like that you would kind of think about buying again?
Yeah, there's a honey rum that this, actually, shame on myself, I don't have the name in my head, but I love the rum, I have it here.
Okay, he's opening up his bag and he's showing me this big bottle, so I know he must have really liked it. Okay, that one is from Hispania,
Spain.
Yes. From Spain.
Yeah, but it's a honey rum, so it's quite similar to mead.
Oh yeah, very, very sweet.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Over ice, it blends out perfectly. I make a cocktail with rum as well, but honey. So it's rum and honey, warm rum, warm rum, warm honey, and it comes out very similar to this, but it's excellent.
Thank you very much for speaking to me. Sounds like you enjoyed yourself.
It's great. Thank you very much.
Hi, my name is Sukhinder Singh. I'm here at the Rum Fest with a number of my colleagues. One of them is with a company called Speciality Brands, and we're the UK agents for three different rums. One is Diplomatico from Venezuela, one is XM from Guyana, and the third one is Trois-Rivières from Martinique.
I need to describe you to our listeners, because you are Sikh, you're here with your turban in amongst all these Caribbean islands, and it's not what you'd expect. I mean, to be honest, I associate whiskey with Sikhs. I didn't realize that you guys were rum connoisseurs.
To be fair, we've got a love of everything, all spirits, good spirits. I would say, yes, whiskey is my first passion, but I absolutely adore rum and other spirits. We're also here in another capacity. We have a retail operation called the Whiskey Exchange, and we sell over 4,000 different spirits online.
Wow.
Including about between 200 and 250 different rums at any one time.
What brings you here, and how many have you been to so far? Is this your first or your third?
To be fair, we've actually done all of them since they first started. I mean, Ian's a good friend. He's been a friend for many, many years.
That's Ian Burrell from Cottons, right?
Ian Burrell from Cottons, correct. So in the beginning, you know, we used to just supply him at Cottons. And, you know, we used to meet at different trade events, different rum events. And then, you know, when Ian was setting up the Rum Fest, so, you know, he asked us would we like to do the retail, which we were pleased to do. And the rest is history. So, you know, we continue, and long may we continue.
Well, I tell you what, you must be making some serious money here today, because your stall has been plagued since they called time on the event. Everybody is kind of rushed over and everybody wants to take a bottle of rum home with them. A little bird told me that you or your colleague are the owners of a £100,000 bottle of whiskey. Is that true?
It's a product called the Dalmore 64-year-old. It's a project we worked on with Dalmore. We've been working on it for the last year, and basically the product was released earlier this week. There was only 3 bottles made. One has been sold to a customer in the USA. We decided to buy one for ourselves, and the third and last bottle is actually on sale on our website currently at $100,000.
Okay, what I need to know, I've got to stop you there. What I need to know is, why in 2010 would a bottle of whiskey, a bottle of anything, be worth £100,000? Are you going to tell me that it was made in 18 BC? He's coughing and choking. Tell me why.
It's not. It's. I mean, it's a 64-year-old whiskey. I think the way to look at it is, whiskey, like rum, matures in wood, yeah? And, you know, in wood you have evaporation. And to actually have any sort of aged liquid in cask after even 50 years is quite rare. To have something after 64 years is pretty much impossible. And B, to have something after 64 years old, which is actually a fantastic whiskey, is virtually impossible. So, you know, it's got, that's one element. And, you know, to reflect the rarity, it's been packaged in some of the finest materials possible. You know, they've gone to the best glass manufacturer, it's the best wooden box maker. So, you know, it's been put together like a work of art. And, you know, you could say it's, I think the way to describe it, it's a piece of luxury. So it's up there with, like, some of the most expensive cars, antiques, watches. You know, there is a market for premium products. I think it should have been done actually some time ago.
Is it a foregone conclusion that something that is 63 years old will taste phenomenal? Or will they, if you don't open this, say, for another 20 years, and we're talking about 83 years, is it kind of a given that it will taste out of this world? Or does it come to a point where it probably actually starts tasting worse?
No, every spirit is different, every cask is different, every whiskey is different. You're absolutely right. 64-year-old doesn't necessarily mean the best whiskey in the world, but I would have to say this is a damn good whiskey. We have the bottle currently for sale on our website, and currently we've got about 6 very, very interested people, genuine, serious inquiries, who would like to buy the bottle. So, you know, that's only in 2 or 3 days.
I'll definitely be back next year. Will you guys?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's always something new to try, something new to learn. So, definitely.
Thank you very much for talking to me. I'm just speaking to some of the people that have come down here today and paid their £25. So you know they must really, really love rum or know what this experience is all about. What's your name?
My name is Owen.
Okay, and why did you pass down here today?
I passed down here because I wanted to take in the experience of the Rum Fest. And basically, I like rum, but I've never been to a place that has 400 different selections, so I thought I'd try it out. I never know who I might run into.
Do you think it's value for money?
I've got my value for money, and the main reason being because I paid my £25, walked in, had 2 samples, I looked around, there's a £10 note on the floor. And I'm being really serious, so I've got my value.
Is that a true story?
That's a true story.
Wicked. Okay, what's your name?
My name's Wayne.
Okay, and what made you come down here today?
I used to be in the rum business myself, importing rum, and I always like to come down and see what's out there in the market. I love my rum, and that's why I'm here.
And I know that you were saying to me a little while ago, the best rum in the world comes from Barbados, didn't you?
Unfortunately, I would have loved to have said that to you, but Guyana is the place.
Guyana?
Yeah. Now, Barbados has some nice rum. Don't get me wrong. Cockspur, Mountgay, it's cool. But however, the Guyanese XM, the number one rum. But I did taste the Venezuelan diplomatic rum. Beautiful as well.
It's interesting because there is a lot of rums. I think I know my rums, and there's a lot of rums that I've never even heard of. Venezuela, from Brazil, from Nicaragua, all these kind of places. So it's really, really interesting because you do get a lot of variety, don't you?
Oh, I totally agree, 100%. It also makes you realise how naive we are when it comes to rum, when you see whiskey and wine, and we are way, way, way behind when it comes to the rum and the different types of rum that's out there on the market. And as I said, I come here, I meet lovely people, have a good time. I mean, Juju, I met you. What more can I say?
You creep. What about... what about... going to say now? Oh, we'll have to edit this. You can tell that I've had too much to drink.
Yeah.
No, but what about the vibe? Because, of course, there's lots of people milling around. We've got people walking up in the corner back there to some calypso. We got some rhythm and blues in one corner. It really isn't just about the rum, is it? It's actually an event.
To be honest, I'm quite happy with the vibe because I read about it on the internet, the World Wide Web, as they say. Basically, there's going to be music, entertainment, and you're getting that. You're getting different selections of music from the West Indies, music from South America, a bit of salsa thrown in there, girls lightly clothed, should I say, but heavily drunk, and ultimately, you know, there's music for everyone. Everyone's enjoying themselves. It's colourful, and to be honest, I think I'll probably be here next year.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Me too. Thank you.